and then also Professor James Liebman, Professor of Law at the Columbia University School of Law. Gentlemen, thanks again for joining us this evening. Before we get closing thoughts from you, I have a quick question for you both. Let's start with you, Professor.
Stay tuned for more cutting-edge viewpoints on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned to PRN.fm for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and today I have a very special and esteemed guest joining me in studio, Sergio Magaña, and he's going to be talking about his new book, The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans. And your earlier book was also a pretty fabulous book, but I'm really excited about this one as well. So I just want to say hello and welcome, Sergio.
Hello, Kathy. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's such a pleasure to be with you again.
Yes. And the first book, Dawn of the Sixth Sun, was really written, I believe, before 2012. And it was kind of explaining to people that, according to Toltec wisdom, it wasn't some date on the calendar that you turn one day from one to the next and everything is going to come into a change in a big flash. And you explained that it was more of a whole period of change. So before getting into this Toltec secret, maybe we should acquaint people with the overall understanding of this transforming time.
Of course. The first book was named The Dawn of the Sixth Sun. What does that mean? In the Aztec calendar, that actually is named the Aztec calendar because it was carved in the Aztec times, but is the recopilation of information that came from Olmecs, Teotihuacans, Xochicalcas, Toltecs, and then Aztecs. So it's it was like the summary of 5,000 years of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So the long count, that that is like the outer ring of the of that famous sunstone that is worldwide known, mm-hmm. Is a period of 26,500 years. That is more or less what science called the precession of equinoxes. And for the ancient Nahuatl cultures, because the Aztec and the Toltecs were now spoke Nahuatl, the main number that was repeated in the universe was the four, they said that like it was like a matrix, because the four elements, the four main phases of the moon, four moments of the day, for everything, for two solstices mm-hmm. and equinoxes to complete the cycle. So they divided the long count in four, that gave you periods of 6,625 years. That those periods are named suns.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the dawn of the sixth sun meant like the dawn of a period of 6,625 years. And for the tradition, these are major changes, because the tradition is based in two worlds, tonal, that is who you are awake, and awal, who you are sleeping, and death. So one sun or one period of time is of the tonal, of the awake. Like I always try to explain in not in an abstract way, when we are awake, we are seeing outside. So where is God outside, medicine outside, satisfaction outside? So these periods of times are very good for religions, for example, are very good for war, because you need to conquer, conquer something outside you. They are very good for medicine, outside medicine. But now we are in the shift, because we are entering in a period of closing the eyes. So when you close the eyes, God and everything goes inside again. You must see what's in your inside. You must see your dreams. And that's why there are happening a lot of crises all over the world, because the other system is not working anymore. Then if you see the medicine that comes from the outside is less effective and effective. Even the therapies outside are less effective and effective, and a lot of people is facing personal or financial or everything crisis and are looking for new solutions. And that's the new period of the sixth sun. Mm-hmm. That is not better, is not bad, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
Is to find new solutions for the new challenges. And the first thing that we say that you must face are your other worlds, where your mind is trapped. And also, what I call about the second book, The Toltec Secret, is that your dreams is what create your reality and not in the other way. That is very similar to what psychology said.
Mm-hmm. Like the subconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our dreams are creating our reality. And I think that that's very disconcerting to most people, because we don't really remember our dreams. And the ones we remember seem quite disturbing sometimes. So it's intriguing to think that we can actually be in control of all this by understanding how our system works and how beingness works. So as we go into this new book, The Toltec Secret, I want to remind people just a little bit of your history, because you are holding, you're like a lineage holder, and you are bringing very knowledge that was taught to you, and then you have been encouraged to bring this knowledge out into the larger world. So can you give a little information about that journey?
Yeah, of course. My history is okay, it's my history, but I find it now when I see it like a little bit strange, mm-hmm. because actually I was born in a very, very traditional Catholic family. So I don't have it this by blood and all those things. And I thank that, because of that, I had the opportunity to spread it after.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother had to work, so I was really raised by my nanny. That my nanny was the daughter of the healer, or the curandero of the Otomi group that is very close to Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
So she raised me like in a very magical way, like instead of giving you every time you had an ache or something, an aspirin or something, she just smoked and blew out the pain. And so I the first time that I heard about dreams, she told me No, because for example, to put open scissors down of your bed so that it cut like the bad dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to the Native Americans, that they have these catchers and, mm-hmm. and all those things. So many, many formulas. So I grew with the one mind in Catholicism and science, because my family was very traditional, and the other in the magical world. And then, when I was like a young man, I began like looking for teachers. And I found two great ones, Hugo Nawi and Xolotl, that I always thank them, that they come from lineages of the moon and of the sun, Toltec or Mexica lineage mm-hmm. of dreamers, that is what is called Nahualism. And I was, because all of them are completely indigenous, I am really proud of part of my indigenous blood, but most of it is part Spanish. And so I was like the different one in those classes,
mm-hmm.
and that made a difference, because like I was very well educated by my family, I learned languages, and a lot of things that then were like the key to spread this,
mm-hmm.
because then Hugo made me like a prophecy. Like 9 years ago, something like that. Like after the eclipse of the 11th of July of 2010, the Mexica world is coming again to the world, and you will be one of the first that is coming out. You will start by Italy. And then he told me, and then you will go to England. That was like 9 years ago. I forgot about that. And just 1 month before that eclipse, I was invited to a healing conference in Hawaii. That was of practitioners, that I was a practitioner also of Andean shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there and I talked a little bit of what I knew about dreaming, they invited me exactly to Italy to give us a small talk. And there was a publisher there, Daniela, that after the talk she told me, your book was for yesterday. And I said, which book? She said, the one that you're going to write, that was about the 2012 and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, okay. And she signed me a contract without even writing a page.
Wow.
She wrote the book with me, actually, mm-hmm. The first one. And it went out, actually, in Italy. It became a great success there. I began giving lectures and all those things, like for 500 people, 1,000. And then I asked Hugo, why Italy? And he told me, of course I dreamt it, first of all. But all the destruction that went to the New World actually was done by the Spanish, but came from Rome, where the Pope was.
Right.
So the coming back for the information has to start there, and then you're going to England. And then my second book, this one, I was really hired by Hay House UK. And actually, also without writing the book, just I gave a little talk also in London. And there was Michelle, the publisher there. And she was really interested about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Toltec Secret came from there. So exactly the prophecy has come like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm really happy that I was raised like in a traditional family and all those things, because that has me allowed to write, to, for example, to make all the appointments for with UNESCO to protect the culture,
mm-hmm.
and to get the budget for doing that, and many, many other things that...
Right, and in order for you to be able to make that translation, you needed the background that you do have in order to serve this role. Yeah. So tell us something about UNESCO. What happened there? I know that's very exciting.
I'm really, really happy. 2 years ago, I was invited to do in Nahuatl. Nahuatl is like the language of the Aztecs that is still spoken, and the Toltecs and all those things in Mexico. So I know how to open sacred space in Nahuatl and all those things. And I was invited to Spain to make a ceremony for the solstice of the 2012. And I did it there. I didn't know that the president of UNESCO for the protection of the intangible patrimony of humankind was there.
Mm-hmm.
So he loved it. He told me, why don't we protect this culture, this tradition, the dances and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very different when intangible the of UNESCO than tangible, because intangible they can say this, but this site is inheritance of humankind and is protected. But for intangible things like ceremonies, all those things, they can propose, but the government must accept, mm-hmm. and actually the government must pay like the research and the videos and all those things, and proposed in UNESCO Paris to be done Patrimony of Humankind. So the president of UNESCO went to Mexico with me and asked to the parliament, actually 2 months ago, for the protection of the Mexica culture, of the Mexica legacy, that is the calendar, the ceremonies and all those things. And then they agreed. And now I am like heading this project there for the next 2 years of researching all the dancings, of protecting, of sponsoring actually groups of dance, of sweating lodges, of the calendar for books, for publication, for protecting the culture. So
yeah, well, that's very exciting, because I know that I'm not sure if it's true as much in Mexico as in other parts of Central and South America. Indigenous cultures have been very, very marginalized and have been really losing their cultures. So for Mexico to do this, I think, is very, very important and very special.
In Mexico, it has happened so much. Actually, we're entering, like, I don't know how to say it in English, salvaguarda.
Say it in Spanish. People will understand.
Yeah, salvaguarda. That is when something is in really danger of being lost.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why
extinction.
Like extinction. So that's why the president of UNESCO said we must protect this, because a lot of dances are in danger of being lost. For example, the Nahuatl etymologies are in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Some ceremonies are not performed anymore, like the New Year ceremony of Xochimilco, that is a part of Mexico City, very similar to how was Tenochtitlan. So all these things, we're going to rescue that. But I'm really, really happy that the government agreed. Mm-hmm. I know that it was a proposal from UNESCO, but I have to thank, because a lot of people now is criticizing the Mexican government all over the world. I know, and I mm-hmm. agree for a lot of things, but there are certain good things. That at least they agreed to protect the mm-hmm. the indigenous culture, the Mexica legacy.
That's wonderful. And so now you have this, a really great responsibility to now go and do this. So I wish you the best of luck and support in so many ways, so that you can do this, you know, to fulfill this dream I know that you have. So I am wishing you the best on that.
Oh, thank you, Katy. And I'm really happy, because that gives me a reason of what I have been doing, because I left my country to promote the mm-hmm. culture, to begin spreading it and all those things, and now I think that is flowering, that is really going to be protected, that is going to be filmed, that is going to have like this kind of brand that says Patrimony of Humankind by UNESCO, that will make it to be preserved.
Right. So that's wonderful, and I hope to follow and find out how that whole process develops and grows into something that we can then share.
Yeah, sure, yeah, it will be, because there will mm-hmm. be. We are planning even to sponsor, because I know that there are groups of dancers here also in the U.S. of the Mexican immigrants. So we are going to sponsor 4 groups: one in Mexico, one in to keep doing the ceremonies and all those things. So
it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
And I am planning like also one in the States of the people that the dance. The last time that I came to the Open Center here, a group of dancers invited me to dance. I couldn't, because they dance on Tuesday and I arrive on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
But even to work with them, so that it's for them it's easier to preserve the tradition. So I'm really, really happy to be able, in what I believe, to make a difference.
And I believe that that's exactly what's going to happen, because the world is hungry for this information, even though they may not realize. what it is that they're hungering for. Because like you said in the beginning of the show, people are going through so many challenges right now. I certainly have many challenges in my life, and I see it in my friends and my family and acquaintances. People just seem to be hitting a wall and not knowing how to get through to the other side, not having to heal something or to find the work that they need to do. So tell us something about these secrets of dreaming practices that will help us to find our way.
Actually, the main Toltec secret is that your dreams create your reality and not in the other way. And when I started, Nahualism is a word that became popular like 20 or 30 years ago because of Carlos Castaneda. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, the young people, don't know who he is, but he wrote about like a kind of wizard and all those things that was a Nahual. But Nahualism actually was like the knowledge that was taught to rulers, to warriors, and to priests of the ancient Mexico. That was how to create everything in the awake through their dreams. So there is an Aztec phrase, a Mexica phrase that said, the one that doesn't remember and work with his dreams is like a living death because has no control over his awake. God, the first time that I heard that, I was a part of the living death. And then it was so known. It sounds so far away, but then when I began engaging in the practices and all those things, I saw that it was truth. That when you begin planting, that is the word that was used in the ancient Mexico, things in your dreams, using archetypal things in your dreams, modifying your dreams, then you get almost everything what you want in the awake, from healing, from abundance, from relationships. For example, I have to be honest, and I hope that the UNESCO president doesn't hear this. but he told me that before seeing me, he dreamt 2 days before Toltec.
Really?
Yeah. This is a true story. That's why he said, I must support this. And then when I was doing this, I was planting in my dreams the Mexican government to support it. And then when all the things begin happening, like these books to be spreading, all these things, you say, it's truth. It's truth. And I have many, many students, like 50,000 all over the world. And I have seen so many things. People, there are so many testimonies there of people with their real name and all those things. Because I have read books that they say, we changed the name to protect the identity of someone. I don't need to protect the identity of anyone because all of them were so proud to give their names and their testimonies because they are truth. Of people, for example, that couldn't get pregnant and through their dreams they got, or that they were sick in the night and in the morning they were healed, where they found the serpent that is the archetype of healing in their dreams. So everything there is truth.
That's really incredible. So let's go. I did see you talk at the Open Center yesterday, and apparently you're also giving a workshop this weekend. Maybe people can connect with that. But you were really talking about this process and this architecture that of using animals and animals representing certain things, and then so can you give a little bit of a structure to that for people to understand?
To plant dreams, of course, we do it in the awake, before falling asleep, in a certain part that now for science is called the hypnagogic. That is, when you are falling asleep, you are going through like a hypnosis. So, of course, the ancient tradition didn't say that. You just had like the discipline to do before falling asleep.
Right.
But now it's named the hypnagogic. So then we have like a language that is very wide, but in the first stage we use animals. So for example, the serpent is for healing, or the crocodile is for abundance, or the jaguar is for healing repetitive ancestral patterns or repetitive destructive patterns, also heavy emotions, the hummingbird for relationships. We have many. So we try to construct a dream, and then when you are falling asleep, you keep saying, I'm a warrior of the dreams. I will be lucid and conscious while dreaming. I find the dream that I plant in the shape of the snake that heals my hypertension or heals my cancer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin getting that. And then you remember the dreams, and they are so powerful. And some people don't remember even the dream. They just know that they dreamt it because they got the result.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. And like I said yesterday in the Open Center, once I was teaching this in the Netherlands, and one man, a psychiatrist, told me this is kind of primitive. And I said, primitive, haven't you seen branding? Mm-hmm. Everything about branding is about animals. If you see the main trademarks of cigars are with names of animals, or their archetypes are horses, of cars, everything are cougars, thunderbirds. I'm not saying brands, but in clothes, everything. So if you begin seeing branding is about animals, even alcohol, beverage, bats, everything.
Well, that's interesting, because actually advertising and promotion, that whole marketing psychology was created by a psychiatrist in America. I forget his name, but it was Freud's nephew, came to America and created marketing and branding. And so it's interesting that you're making this connection to branding to animals, to being part of the subconscious, and how advertising uses the subconscious to convince people that they need something.
Of course. I will put an example that I was seeing. I was teaching in Germany like last month, and I saw like the television. And I was seeing this was for a whiskey. And the advertising was exactly an elk, that people were with an elk entering in an elevator. They went to the roof, and they went out, and they were like in a party. Going up is going to the heavens in the dreaming language. Elks and deers are the future. So that is so simple, the message. The next time you go to the heavens is drinking. Mm. That's all. And when people in Germany said, they say, no way that people in branding know this. I said, God, if I know how to interpret that.
I'm sure somebody knew it.
Of course. And it's like that.
Well, this is really interesting, because what you're speaking of these symbols are very, very ancient, to the beginning of humanity, probably, I would think, that we all have this in our subconscious, the understanding of these symbols.
Of course, because animals were the first thing with animal size, life and death, and the four elements were the first things that humankind had to face. For example, a lot of people think that the most ancient symbols are the tarot cards, but not. If you see, the tarot cards have the wise man and all those things. Those come later. And a lot of tarot cards are full of animals. Mm-hmm. So the animals were first.
Oh, okay. Well, that does make a lot of sense. And so how do people go about using your book, The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans? Tell it, because I noticed that you have you go through all of the different archetypes. Well, I don't know if all, but a great many of the archetypes in your book, and you explain to people what they actually mean.
Yeah, in the book I'm giving like not the complete, because it's impossible to be put in a book, but like the first steps in a dreaming training. So mm-hmm. someone with the book is able to begin planting dreams, to interpreting dreams, canceling the dreams that are creating troubles, changing perception, using water or obsidian mirrors. So the book is quite complete. It's not a theoretical book. It's a practical book for changing lives.
Well, that's really significant. And one of the things that struck me about a lot of the work that you do, because I think the offering you had yesterday was maybe the third time I had a chance to be in one of your classes, they seem very simple, and you don't have to think about it too much. Why is that so? I mean, in the sense that you're not asking people to comprehend everything, but to just do them. You know, and I've noticed that you've done that a couple of times.
Yeah, like I told you, I thank God that I was raised like in the two parts,
mm-hmm.
because I am able. When you are trained in an indigenous culture, there is not a lot of mind. It's just do it, and that's how it was with my teachers. But like. For example, entering the eagle perception. And why the eagle perception? Because the eagle sees like that. So there is not much answer, and then you have to do it. But a lot of people with Western mind would quit there. So I tried to give just enough the part of mind so that people said, okay, it has a logic. And then I try to say the only way to experience it is practice.
Hmm. Oh, so I'm beginning to understand this. So it's really that... This is just how the tradition is, passing from one person to the next. You just learn it and do it.
Yeah.
And then the knowing is in the results, I guess.
Yeah.
The consequence of doing it, you get results, and you can see the deeper understanding of it.
Of course. But, for example, I have two teachers, two main ones.
Mm-hmm.
One is completely like a philosopher. He speaks the Nahuatl, is very poetic. So he speaks like in Spanish, like in Nahuatl,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of metaphors and all those things. That, for example, I understand him because I have been with him for 10 years, but I know that in an interview here, no one would understand anything. He would be telling you, like, a lot of metaphors and all those things. And the other is completely practical. And just do it and get the result. So I'm like the mixture.
Well, no, I actually think that I could relate to the metaphors more than the practical, because you're right. When if we're being told to just do this, it almost elicits the mind to jump up and say, well, wait a minute, why am I doing this? But with the metaphor, you can sort of forget about the why and just sort of have the experience of the beauty of the experience. So I guess they both work depending on who you are working with and who you are approaching.
Yeah, no, I know. I try to give like both mm-hmm. parts, but for example, Xolotl, that the one that speaks in metaphors, he would say something like, there is no dream. It's only the sacred place of the darkness in movement. And mm-hmm. the movement is what you, what it appears for you to be dreams. Something like that.
Okay.
So that it's really philosophic. And then you, mm-hmm. and that is truth. In the ninth level of dreams, yeah. there are no dreams. And this is only a projection, like a film. But you have to think it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds very interesting, but I think that what people will be able to get from this is enough for them to be able to proceed and understand that they can have power within their lives in a way to make those transformations. And do you ever give any thought to, like, you in the exercise we did yesterday, we canceled out dreams from different parts of reality, what were the four parts you canceled? I just remember the one from the cosmic. So how does that work? Yeah,
what is called Mexicatzin is like a discipline of breathings. It's done like in four parts mainly. For example, if I'm going to plant a dream of healing, it's because I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I am going to plant a dream of abundance, it's because I have lack of abundance. It's just logical. So, for example, first you destroy the lack of abundance. Then you destroy the dreams that created the lack of abundance through your breathings. Then you destroy the cosmic energy that created the dreams that created the lack of abundance. Then you destroy, this is very abstract because it's a training like in a mirror, your reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And then you change into the archetype of abundance that would be the crocodile. And that's how you enter in the dream and you begin repeating, I'm a warrior of the dreams. I stay mm-hmm. lucid and conscious while dreaming and I find the dreams that I plant that give me this type of abundance. So it's a complete process. It's a discipline.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful process. And I could see how it works because it's basically giving you a mechanism to bring your intention into this process of going into the dream, and then which helps you to have the life that you want. But I couldn't help wondering about this cosmic egg, and what is coming from the cosmos that would implant these things into your consciousness. It's like, is it necessary to understand any of that?
For us, to be quite simple, like the Earth would be the mother and the father would be the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother is always like holding what is being created. And it's not like the cosmos is saying, you are going to be sick. No. It's like you use the cosmic energy in a certain way to become sick or to get the healing.
Mm-hmm.
You are like in the middle part, like the joint between the cosmic energy and the magnetic energy of the Earth. And so in the middle part is to change how you're using the cosmic energy, so to instead of using it to become sick, to use it to heal yourself.
Okay, that helps me to understand it a great deal, because essentially people are in some fashion, because of what's happening inside, are misusing the energy.
Yeah.
And that's how they're getting sick and stuck and lost in their lives, because they're not understanding what they're doing with the energy they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Okay, well, that's wonderful. We are going to be taking a station identification, so I'm going to take a break now, and then we can play some station announcements, and then we can come back and maybe we'll have listener calls, and I want to talk about your trip to Mexico.
Of course.
Yes. So let's take a station break.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from Progressive Voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, my name is Will Hopkins. I served in Iraq in 2004 and 2005, including the Fallujah Offensive, as a U.S. Army infantryman. I'll be on Warrior Connection this Sunday, November 23rd at 7 p.m. Eastern, and I want to talk to you about how U.S. policy and warfare is fueling and encouraging ISIS and why we have to get out of Iraq.
This is an important program. My name is Patricia Axelrod. I'll be your host for this program along with Doug Rocky. We're happy to be coming to you from Warrior Connection.
Sunday, November 23rd at 7 p.m. Eastern.
The holidays are here. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve. How do we handle it? We got to deal with stores, food, gifts, money, depression, drinking, parties, drugs, everything, sickness, you name it. We're going to discuss this with our great guest, Dr. Sarah Larson. Been on the show many times. She's a medical doctor, intuitive, spiritual counselor, totally holistic. This Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, on Let's Create a Better World. I'm Bobby Elias, your host. So many things go on during the holidays. We're going to have solutions, ideas, tell you how to handle the season in a very spiritual and healthy way. Be sure to listen in Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Sarah also talks about healthy aging. Thank you.
This is Maria Heller, host of The Maria Heller Show, heard at MariaMeria.net 4 days a week. But every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, you get to hear one of the best shows of the week on The Maria Heller Show right here on PRN.FM. If you missed the show, they're archived right here on site at PRN. Support Real Truth in Media by tuning in and sharing the information you hear with anyone that'll listen. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Hi there, this is Harvey Wasserman. I am the host of the Solartopia Green Power Wellness Show, which airs every Monday at 3 p.m. at PRN.FM. We cover the great issues of your health and wellness, of the health and wellness of the planet, of moving ahead towards a Solartopian, green-powered, holistic Earth. Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
This is Tony Hendra
and Jeff Chrysler
of the Final Edition Radio Hour
on PRN,
your source for organic,
gluten-free,
sustainable
satire.
Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is PRN.FM. My name is Catherine Davis, and my guest is Sergio Magana Osilo-Kyoto.
Yeah.
The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans. And we've been speaking about this beautiful ancient tradition of Nahuatl tradition, really. Is it Nahuatl tradition or language?
It's a language, mm-hmm. but the dreaming tradition comes from all the cultures that spoke Nahuatl.
Okay. And so I understand that you're going to be having a trip to a special trip to Mexico, in which that has a lot to do with the timing at the Pyramid of the Moon. And so, can you tell us something about that whole experience and what that will be?
Yes. Now that I travel a lot abroad, and I was always telling people, I learned this from my teachers, because I always honor them. Like I said, I always mm-hmm. ask for a clap for them, because if not, this wouldn't be possible. So a lot of people began wandering in Europe and here in America. Okay, we want to see your teachers. So I began organizing trips to make possible that experience mm-hmm. for the people. To learn also from me and from them in the temples that those things were creating, and making it easier because they don't speak English and all those things, so that it can be translated and all those things. So I organize a pilgrimage that it starts, for example, in a date that is very important for the Mexicans, that is the pilgrimage to the Lady of Guadalupe, mm-hmm. that is the biggest of the world. The pilgrimage, not the lady. Mm-hmm. But actually, that was a pilgrimage that came from Aztec times.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah, of course, it was a pilgrimage mm-hmm. for the Tonantzin, the Mother Earth, mm-hmm. to congratulate her because of the birth that is what was going to happen of the sun in the solstice.
That sounds very familiar to the stories being told by certain religions. Okay, go ahead. You know, it's just I'm just seeing that the tradition of the culture was almost retranslated into the religious traditions
of
the birth of Christ. It sounds like it to me.
Yeah. The Christian Church only adapted the thing, and instead of the pilgrimage to the Mother Earth, it was done to the Virgin. Mm-hmm. But it was much more older. Where is now the Basilica? Mm-hmm. It was really the temple of the Tonantzin, the Mother Earth, in the Aztec temples.
Wow!
In the Aztec times, and it was done like a ritual of dying. To whom you were, so that you can rebirth mm-hmm. with the sun in the solstice. So it starts there, and then we start going to the main temples around Mexico City, like Xochicalco, like Teotihuacan, doing ancient rituals mm-hmm. with my teachers, learning about shared dreams, rituals in caves, and learning how to dance also for the people, for at least the hummingbird dance, because for us the sun is born like a hummingbird the 21st of December, mm-hmm. So it's an amazing experience. And I began doing this because all the interests of the people around the world that studied with me to join with my teachers.
Okay. So it does seem like a very special time and a beautiful experience. I traveled to Mexico a few years ago, and I went to Teotihuacan, where there was the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon. And the Pyramid of the Moon is a bit smaller, but to me it felt more, I could feel the energy of it more than the sun. Or maybe it was because it has a feminine energy. I don't know why that is. But is it really one is a feminine energy and the other is a masculine energy? Or am I interpreting it that way?
No, you are interpreting it that way. Because actually in the old Mexico, the first illusion was that something is feminine and masculine. So we, in the tradition, for example, we have many masculine and feminine names for everything.
Ah, okay.
So, for example, the main essence that was the Black Tezcatlipoca, that is the smoking mirror, one of his names is Moon. And the sun has also feminine names, and Quetzalcoatl has masculine and feminine names.
Okay.
So the Pyramid of the Moon is the Pyramid of the Black Tezcatlipoca, of the unconscious and all those things. So that's why it has a much stronger energy, because it's more heavy.
Mm-hmm.
The other is lighter, because it would be, even if you see the Lady of Guadalupe, that is a codex. Actually, I don't want to insult any Mexican, because I know that we are very mm-hmm. faithful about that. But all the tradition, the ancient tradition, is drawn there, that she's stepping over the moon.
That's right.
That is like stepping over your Black Tezcatlipoca. You're defeating your past dream, your unconscious.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, a lot of the times the anthropologist doesn't know all these things, and they did like the entrances. The first one in the Temple of Quetzalcoatl, the second in Teotihuacan in the Pyramid of the Sun, and the third in the Moon. So everyone goes like that, and it shouldn't be like that. You should start in the Moon, where you live all your past, your unconscious. Mm-hmm. Then to transform, like the Virgin, if you see that she rises into the sun, mm-hmm. that would be, and then you transform into Quetzalcoatl, that is your best possibility. That would be the third.
Mm-hmm.
So how it's done by tourism is completely in the opposite way, like it should be done.
Okay. So what is the third pyramid?
The Temple of Quetzalcoatl.
The Temple of Quetzalcoatl. Is it in the same site?
It's the next one, in the one that is actually, Quetzalcoatl means rising serpent. It's mm-hmm. like the Mexican Kundalini.
Right.
It's the one that has the serpents that are coming out from like these flowers.
Mm.
And now they have just found like the one of the most incredible discoveries, like the past month,
mm-hmm.
that they found the way to the underworld down of that pyramid, that was this tunnel in which they expect to find the graves of the rulers, but that was with gold dust and all those things there.
Wow! So they found these very ancient hidden rooms.
Yeah.
So you know, maybe in many ways that's also reflecting this underlying truth, that the time for all this to be revealed is now.
Of course, that is completely what is happening. For us, this time, the sixth sun, is the time of the underworlds and what was hidden. And now it's found.
Wow, this is beautiful. I'm going to just give out the call-in number because someone may have a question. And you can call in at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And for those of you who might be interested, there's actually a dream workshop taking place this weekend with Evolver, which is another really cool organization that does a lot of interesting stuff through the media. And you can send an email to jeff@evolver.net. That's jeff@evolver.net. I don't see a phone number here, just the email. And it's November 22nd and 23rd at the Balance Arts Center, 34 West 28th Street. And so it's a two-day workshop that goes deep into this whole process, and people will learn a lot with you, I'm sure, during this weekend. Do you want to give a sense of what it will be?
Yeah, it will come from the training of how to change your perception so that you begin appearing in your dreams, so that your mind cannot disconnect. Then it will be planting of dreams of many things, then interpretation of dreams according to the old tradition, canceling of dreams of the ones that doesn't work, and then we are going to the cherry on the cake. That is, learn how to cut the night and begin inducing. A lot of people sometimes wake up and they cannot move and they feel really frightened.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the symbols that you are still dreaming, but part of your mind awoke.
Okay.
So, is how to induce that state so that you can begin constructing dreams in like in that moment. So even we will do like a certain exercise in which you learned to make your heart slower so that you get paralyzed, and that would be like dreaming and begin constructing with the archetypes of that.
And then in that way you're creating your life, I presume.
Of course, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's very powerful. So that's actually coming up tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, I guess it is.
Yeah, it's 2 days.
And the Art of Dreaming workshop with Sergio Magana, and you can send an email to jeff@evolver.net. November 22nd and 23rd. It's actually at the Balance Arts Center, 34 West 28th Street. But to make sure that there's space, you should probably email. And it's at a cost of, I think, $245. So that's actually quite reasonable for a two-day workshop. That's pretty cool. Or no, actually, that was the early bird. Oh, well. It'll be
yeah. So well, I think it's similar.
But it's similar. It's a little bit more. But call, send an email to Jeff, and you'll be able to participate in this great 2-day workshop. Jeff@evolver.net. And yeah, for anyone who's interested in actually going on this tour to Mexico, you can actually get that information at the Open Center as well. So if you go to the Open Center website, which I think is opencenter.org, you can, or call the Open Center, you can find out more about that. Or people can go to your workshop, I guess. Your website, Sergio Magana, what is it, .com?
Yeah, it's Magana because like in the abroad they don't have the N. So
yeah,
we do it sergiomagana.com.
Right, SergioMagana.com, SergioMagana.com. And that way people can find out more about what you're doing, and because you're traveling all around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know when you'll be coming back to New York City or this region of the woods, but
I think only once in like next year for teaching Obsidian Mirror. So if you can go this weekend, it will be like my only date, because yeah, I have dates all over.
Okay, so yeah, it's a rare opportunity, and I have to say, because I did, you know, I did work with the Obsidian Mirror, and I've been working with the Obsidian Mirror, and it's kind of, I'm not clear that I'm doing it right or that I'm mastering it. I'm just doing it the best I can figure out how to do it. And it's can be very magical, and I can feel things shifting, but I'm not clear. I'm not really, really clear. But I think it's people don't believe that you could really see things, but you really see things.
Of course.
I mean, you really, really see things.
You disappear in the mirror with open eyes. You see your face shifting. You see ancestors. You can shape-shift your face into an animal in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not illusion. Yeah, Jester Allen Steinfeld, that is very known here. He told me, but at the end, I couldn't even see the mirror. The mirror disappeared completely. I said, okay, you're going to the next level.
Mm. Okay, that's really very beautiful. And so people have an opportunity to make this connection with you and to make their connection with these ancient Toltec traditions. And we're actually close to being out of time. We have about 4 minutes. So what would you like to share with people in these last few moments?
I want to thank you first, because this was a great interview, one of the best I have done. Thank you. And I would like to share, these are not easy times. For example, in the calendar, you see that there are an eagle claws between one sun and the other, when everything that existed is destroyed to enter to the new order. So, but there is hope. is to adapt yourself before to the new order,
mm-hmm.
to begin looking in your inside, and to begin looking for new solutions if the other ones are not helping you anymore, and they are there. Just mm-hmm. look, I'm not the only one. There are many people that are going to ancient traditions that hold real, real knowledge about this, and then you can change.
This is very true. And those periods that you spoke of when you were going to sleep and just waking up, are very powerful connecting moments. And if you not rush through that, you can connect in many different ways using some of the techniques that you're teaching in your book. And so I hope people will also consider checking out the book, The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans by Sergio Magaña. I'm going to spell it for you. Ocilocuyotl.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... That's my Nahuatl name. Yeah, I would love to learn this language. It's such a beautiful language. And Sergio, S-E-R-G-I-O, Magaña, M-A-G-A-N-A, and Ocilocuyotl, O-C-E-L-O-C-O-Y-O-T-L. Now, that's a lot for us Western, with our Western brains, but all you have to do is search The Toltec Secret and Sergio Magaña, and you'll find the book. Or go to the Open Center, opencenter.org, and you can, they have a whole section there on this incredible trip. And when is the date of your trip to Mexico?
It's very soon. It will start the 11th of December of this year mm-hmm. to the 21st.
Okay, 11th to the 21st of December. And if you're available this weekend, people can check out your workshop, and it's put together by Evolver, the Art of Dreaming Workshop with Sergio Magaña, and send an email to Jeff at evolver.net, and it's at Balance Arts Center, 34 West 28th Street, this weekend, November 22nd, 23rd. I don't know what the... 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Okay. So people can check it out. Maybe they will be able to hook up with that. And we're just about out of time. I want to thank all of you who are tuned in for joining me today over Heart of Mind. I'm Catherine Davis. And for those of you who want to connect with me, you can do that through email, Catherine@heartofmind.org. K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, Catherine@heartofmind.org. And you can also call 347-480-1694. And if you go to the webpage on the Progressive Radio Network, I have put their links to Sergio's website as well as the Open Center website. So you can connect later on once that archive goes up. So thank you very much for joining me today, Sergio.
Thank you, Kathy. It's always a pleasure.
And I want to thank all of our listeners and the staff here at the Progressive Radio Network.